So the peace offering and how it relates to us in Isaiah 53, please. In Isaiah 53, in verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The chastisement of his peace could also be and is translated in a different commentary. I forget the name. But is the punishment and procurement that he obtained. The punishment, the chastisement of our peace, that chastisement would be the punishment and procured or obtained our peace. By his punishment, by everything that he went through, he obtained our peace. So that is the section, because remember, we went through this once upon a time, right? Every one of these words, every one of these phrases has a major point to be understood. He was the one, because of his doing, and the punishment that he received was what we should have received. He obtained it for us. He obtained it for us by going through what he went through. And the peace offering itself, which was talking similarly about, go to Leviticus chapter 3. This is one of the light sections of your Bible. I just want to give you a quick overview. Remember I told you about that book that David Berge had written, and you can get it on Amazon, and I still believe you ought to get it and read it and study it. I'll show you the copy of it upstairs. But in chapter 3, verse 1, "And if his oblation be sacrificed, his offering be sacrificed." You guys know where you are? Leviticus chapter 3. Yeah. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1. "And his oblation and sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, before Yahweh. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of his offering and kill it in at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the innards, and all the fat that is upon the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the curl above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall be taken away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire, and it an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." He made it unto the Lord. Now, remember, Leviticus doesn't give you any There's no chance that you're not going to understand exactly what you should do when you sacrifice something to the Lord. It tells you how to butcher the animal, what parts of the animal, everything. All right? And he does this for the herd. It can be male or female. He does this for the lamb. He does this for the goat. Okay? It's not about the butchering. It's about the part that belongs to the Lord. And the part that belongs to the Lord is the fat. Okay, it says here in King James. The fat is what everybody considered in the Middle East the best part of the animal. I know you all don't like that today. But I do. Thank you very much, Glenn. I got it. Thank you. But the word fat is also used for the word as finest and the best. That's the Hebrew word used for fat, finest, best. Okay? So however you want to look at it, God gets the best. And that's what all the sacrifices from Genesis on, all the way through. God gets the first, he gets the best, he gets the fat, he gets... That's how it's to be understood, okay? Whether you like the word fat or not is immaterial to me. You know, you understand? But it says in chapter 2, by the way, I don't want to get too far away from this, chapter 2, verse 13, that all these sacrifices that were to be eaten, and I'm going to show you that this sacrifice gets eaten by the priests. They get a piece of it, and the person doing the offering. Everybody's involved in this one, and everybody identifies by eating it. The Lord's portion is the best, the fat, the kidneys, the rump, the whole portion of the animal. Okay? But in chapter 2 here, in verse 13, it says, and every oblation, every sacrifice, every offering of thy meat offering shall be seasoned with salt, neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if you know, again, anything about the significance of salt, it is the salt covenant. When you are to salt this meat, you're to salt it significantly. It's not just to be lightly salted, you know, just for taste. It was to be salted because this is also, the sacrifice that you're offering, it is a dedication to God, and it's your commitment in a salt covenant with God for whatever the reason that you're doing it, okay? Now, I could do this in like 3 hours, but since I don't have 3 hours, we're going to just do the major. And I want you to go back and look at it and read it for yourself and understand it. But, so all the meal offerings, and this is one of them, they were a salt covenant to God. This particular part, this particular animal in chapter 3 of Leviticus just talks to about what God gets. This is his portion. It doesn't speak about the rest of the animal in this section here. You got to go to chapter 7 for that. In Leviticus chapter 7, now it talks about your end of it. And we're just going to pick this up from the priests. And verse 29. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offers the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation, his sacrifice, unto Yahweh for the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord. Remember, he put his hands upon it. He identified and transferred to that. Remember the double transfer? He transferred to that animal his sin, his shortcoming, or his vow, you know, the thing that he would do. And the animal gave him, you know, the innocence. He gave to the animal his sin. The animal gave him innocence. He gave the animal the sin. Then they all ate of it. So verse 30, his own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat which with the breast it shall, that shall he bring, and the breast may be waved of a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. So Aaron and his sons get the breast of the animal, okay? And the right shoulder shall be given unto the priest that heave offering and sacrifice, or for your sacrifice offering. And he among the sons of Aaron that offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder of the part. And the way, and for the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifice of their peace offering, and have given them to Aaron and to the priest and to the sons by a statute forever for among the children of Israel. And this is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and the anointing of his sons out of the offering of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister to the Lord in the priest's office forever, which the Lord commanded to be given to them of the children of Israel, in the day that he anointed them by the statutes forever and ever throughout his generation. So God gets the best. He gets the fat. He gets those parts that we talked about. Aaron and his sons get the breast and the right shoulder. That's for them to eat. Okay? Because they're going to partake in this too. The rest of the animal goes back to the offerer, the man who offered it. And he is to eat it, and he's to eat it all that day or the next day. And since most of these people brought an animal that's more larger than they can possibly eat by themselves, his family and his friends are also invited to eat this thing. But it's got to be done all that day. And or once in a while the next day. But the third day, they've got to burn the rest of it with fire. Okay? So, this offering, by his punishment, by him going through, our Lord and Savior going through all of the torture, he is our peace. He was the sacrifice that gave us peace. When the individual here, and it's not just to us, it's to all. This identifying with the animal, the eating of the animal, and I got to read that part to you, but Leviticus 19. Leviticus is generally in the white pages of your Bible. Not too many people delve into it. In verse 29, Verse 5:19:5. And if the offering a sacrifice of peace offered unto the Lord, shall you offer it at your own will? This is all to be done. This sacrifice is not required. This is at your own will. You give to the Lord. You're doing this for the Lord, and it's out of your free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, you shall burn it with fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is an abominable. It is abominable, and it shall not be accepted. So you have God gets the best. The priest is given his portion, and he's told what it is. Remember, way back, Eli's sons, they didn't do this, all right? They were the ones, they took the fat, and they took the best, and they offered something else to God, and that's why, all right? And it says the people abhorred the sacrifices to the Lord for Israel because they were corrupt priests. But Aaron and his sons get a certain portion, the breast, the right shoulder. The rest of the animal went back to the person who ate, who offered it. And he was to eat it within 2 days with all the rest of his family and friends. Because obviously an individual couldn't eat an entire animal, three quarters of an animal, by himself. And it was to be done with praise. And it was to be done with thanksgiving. In Deuteronomy, in verse 27, chapter 27. So in chapter 27, in verse 7, and thou shalt offer a peace offering, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. This one, I could show you several other, many other records. They were to eat Hezekiah. They praised the Lord. There's two eating offerings. It's only two in the Bible, right? There's the peace offering, and there's the Passover. Both of those, you offer the animal to the Lord. You identify with the animal, same way, peace offering and the Passover. Then the animal is to be shared and eaten that was dedicated and given to the Lord. The blood was to be put around the altar, and both of those were to be eaten, and they were to be eaten with salt. Jesus Christ is our Passover, right? He's also our peace offering. I'll show you that in a minute. But I want you to understand the whole reason for these types. It was to teach you what the Christ was going to accomplish and do for you. All right? God got the best of this sacrifice. He was God's only begotten Son. He was the only man who didn't sin. He was the what did it for us. And God gets the best part of that. The priests, they get a good chunk. Okay? And then the rest of it, the left shoulder and the rest of the animal is eaten. It doesn't say specifically exactly everything, but it's got to be done within 2 days. The offering itself, go to Psalm 107:22. I want to stay on this one point for a moment. It talks about the peace offering. Psalm 107, 22. And again, I just picked out a few verses out of the many. It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. In Nehemiah, that's exactly what they had done. They did the sacrifice, they did praise and rejoicing, and they declared God's works, and the priests sang, and the people feasted. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of praising God. It was a time because they identified their sin, all their shortcomings. It was transferred to this animal. This was given of their free will choice. The innocence of the animal was transferred to them. They got justified. All right? And you were to sit around, partake of it. You not only identified by the laying on of your hand, but you consumed the sacrifice so that it became part of you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles, excuse me, chapter 30, verse 31. Says, and the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord of Yahweh. And they did eat throughout their feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confessions to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep the other 7 days, and kept other 7 days with gladness. Now, this was like a really, really special time, because the northern tribes and the southern tribes had been separated for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. The northern tribes, you know, with Solomon and his kingdom. This is Hezekiah. This is hundreds of years later. And the Hezekiah finds the word. He finds the scroll. He sets up the thing. And they're late. They have to do it in the second month. They can't do it in the first. They got to do it in the second month. He sends letters up north. He says, come, let's do the sacrifice, the Passover together. And many of them come. And for the first time in 300 years, they read the Bible. They eat together. They praise the Lord together. The priests sing praises. And God does a special thing. He heals all the people that eat. And Hezekiah had to pray for that, because the guys from up north didn't cleanse themselves the way they were supposed to be cleansed. They didn't do it the way the word says to do it. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and said, pardon them, all that seek the Lord with all their heart. Again, you read the record. But the point is, God healed them. He healed them physically. He started to heal the nation and bring it closer together than it had ever been before, because they offered this peace offering. And again, the law says nothing about doing this more than 7 days. But they decided they were having such a good time, they were going to do it another 7 days. And again, every peace offering had to be eaten within 2 days, right? And it was shared. You had God got the best part, the priest got their part, and the family and with his friends. And if you read the record, thousands and thousands of animals were given in a peace offering. And they had thousands and thousands of people at the party. And it was a time of rejoicing and a time of confessing before God and his sins. It was a time of the covenant assault with God Almighty to do his word and his will. And God, like I said, this was otherwise than the law said, but God fully accepted this because he healed all of the people and blessed them. Go to John chapter 6. You know, Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 6, a very difficult section of scripture for a lot of people. And if you don't know anything about the sacrifices, and if you don't understand what he came to do and how it fits with the law, you really don't, you're lost. I was lost with the reading of this for many, many years, and I learned. In John chapter 6, verse 52, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Oh, and I forgot to read another verse that says, and this offering was also, you offered bread with it. But, so what's that all about? You know, you ever read that to a Christian? And they scratch their head and say, what's that all about? Well, Christ is looking forward to what he's going to do for us all as the substitute offering. He knows that he is the peace offering. And he knows that those who identify with him, he transfers his righteousness to us, and we transfer our sin to him. And in that transfer, that identification, everybody participates in this sacrifice. God is paid the debt, the best part. And every single soul has to eat of this. You have to make it part of you. Okay? Remember, it's a type. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now we could we got time. I can read this chapter. All right. Got a little time. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. See, baptism is not always talking about baptized with water in a ceremony. They were immersed in this cloud and in the sea. It was just part of them and everything else. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for that rock of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, we've been doing Hebrews for the last several weeks, and this is part of, this is, you know, again, it's not off the subject, because we're talking, the next chapters talk about him being the high priest and him being the sacrifice. Christ was that spiritual rock, verse 5, and with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters of some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. These are some of the records. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages are come. The end of the world, the end of the ages come. Wherefore let him that thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. You are to consider your actions and your life, and also consider the examples that came before you of these guys in the wilderness with their unbelief and their actions. You want to consider whether you're standing or not? Well, you got the examples. These guys God was not well pleased with. So you consider lest you fall, lest... Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you as such as common unto man, but God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. You are able to deal with everything that comes your way, because he is the one that'll help. And he'll also make a way to escape. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, there's no break here. Okay, keep the context. I speak as to wise men. Judge you. Judge you what I say. I speak to you guys, know what you're talking about. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? He's talking about the Old Testament sacrifice, the peace offering. There's only two, Passover and the peace offering, that are eaten. Aren't the people who partake, aren't they the one? They're all one in this. Their identification is one in this. Aren't they a partaker of the offering? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. I think Aaron made a golden calf. Right? Part of that idolatry. I mean, they were eating and drinking and playing. And they offered it to the golden calf. Now, it wasn't to just a stick figure. It was the devil. Same thing people offer to devils, their sacrifices, you know. So he's talking to them. This is all wrapped up. This is one chapter here. This is all continuous thought. You and I partake in the Lord's table. This is my blood. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. He knew what he would do on the cross. He knew when he was talking to them at the Last Supper that this was the new covenant, which is in my blood. And we partake in that every time we eat and we remember. And we praise our God and we offer thanksgiving and praise for what he has done, for what he has accomplished, for the forgiveness that we have received, for the hope of eternity and the oneness with our God and with our Lord. See, you and I have Christ in us. We have eaten of that bread figuratively. We are one with the sacrifice. And we are one with God, who got the best part. We got God in Christ in us. See, are not they which offer the sacrifice partakers? They're all one. God, the priest, the individual, and the family, and the friends that all partook in that oath, in that giving of thanks, in that praise to God. As this is what the peace offering was. You did it to give thanks, to praise to God. You gave it to do an oath. And you did it of your free will. That was the three parts to doing the peace offering. The people partaking in the peace offering was God, who got the best, the priest and the individuals who ate of it. They all identified with the sacrifice. We identify Christ has done this for us. When you partake of the communion, you do this in remembrance of him. And he knew what he was talking about when he said to them, if you don't eat of me, you got no eternal life. I know it's not the easiest teaching I ever did, okay, to follow. Just let it roll for you, okay? So go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14. It says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We have read this. We're in Ephesians 2:14. He is, now, I've read this section of scripture with you hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. Well, most of you heard it a lot. But I've read it thousands of times. I've always taught you the words have to be kept within a context, right? All right. What context are we talking about? We're talking about God has given his son. And now we have life through him. Okay? For we are his workmanship, in verse 10. Remember that you were the circumcision, that in times past, verse 12, that in times past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Are we talking about his sacrifice? But now, in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace. You can put the word offering in here, because it's talking about his crucifixion. It's talking about his blood. You can supply the word and not change the context. The reason you can supply that word is because of the context. But just leave, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. See, the peace offering brought them all together, right? They're all partakers. And has broken down the middle wall of partition that is between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of the twain one new man, so making peace again. Peace with God. The peace of God and peace with God. And that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you that were far off and to them that are nigh, both Israel and Gentile. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Because of him. Because of his sacrifice, because of his blood, because of his sufferings on the cross, we have access to the Father. Now therefore there is no more strangers or foreigners or fellow citizens, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and you are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and grows to a holy temple in the Lord, of whom you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I hope it comes together for you in your understanding in a small way. Old Testament was, this is what the Christ is going to do, and this is what he's going to accomplish. They did the peace offering. It was a commitment. All the meal offerings that you ate were seasoned with a great deal of salt for the salt covenant. This is between you and God. You gave the peace offering for thanksgiving, for praise, for a vow, and you gave it of your free will. It was to be eaten by everybody. God got the best, the priest and the people, the one giving it. You identified with that animal. You placed your hands upon it. You got its innocence. It got your sin. Then you ate, which is a big part of the thing. You literally became one with it. With our Lord and Savior, he died. We identify with him. We are to literally have that identification. That when he was buried, we were buried. When he suffered, we suffered. When he was raised, we will be raised. We believe that he was our sacrifice. He told us at the Last Supper, says, eat this and drink this. This is my body. This is my blood. You do this in remembrance of me. Now, the rest of that chapter 10 in Corinthians talks about if somebody offers something and you know about it to idols, you don't eat of that because you're a partaker of that. But if you're stupid, you don't know anything about it, just go ahead and eat it with thanksgiving. Everything belongs to the Lord anyhow. But it's for conscience sake. Because eating and partaking of evil or something offered to a devil, for conscience sake, you don't want to become one with it. But he says, go ahead and buy food in the market and don't ask any questions. For conscience sake. Because everything belongs to the Lord. But if somebody knows, and you know, and somebody else finds out, then you give up your liberty, and for conscience sake, and for an example, and not to lay a stumbling block, you don't eat of it. That's the point. But even then, see how people thought, you partake in this, you're agreeing with it. Now, I never really thought about this in my culture, your culture. I don't know if it's part of our lives that way. I know families get together. We just had a nice Thanksgiving, right? And I rejoice in the Lord. I'm with the people I love. I get to eat and rejoice in a day, giving thanks to God for what he's given and what he's provided. And I willfully take part of that. But if someone were to sacrifice to some other god and invite me to partake, I don't have to do that. But that's the side point in my teaching today. See, the communion that we take part in that, that's not just like this here. This peace offering wasn't just a go-through-the-motion ceremony. They did this. They identified with it. They went home and ate it, rejoicing and praising God. You're involved in this thing. It's not 10 minutes and then you're talking about what's on TV. The whole thing was, you know, a salt covenant to God. Same thing with every time we eat, when we go upstairs and we break bread together, he said, do this every time you eat it. And do it in remembrance of him. We fellowship. We share in the fellowship. The koinonia. Full sharing. That was the word in Greek. It's a full sharing with him. So that's what I wanted to share with you. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your great grace, and your mercy. Thank you for what our Lord and Savior has accomplished for us. And thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding so that we can see it in a deeper, simpler, richer way, Father. Thank you for allowing us to appreciate all the wonderful things that he did. And we love you and praise you. I ask you for your blessing on everyone here, Father. Take care of them and watch over them. Thank you so much for allowing us to be together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.